Father God, we just thank you this morning, Father God, as we gather together, Father God, in your name this morning, Father God. We pray that none of us leave here the same as we came, Father God. We thank you for the teacher, Father God, and we thank you for the message that will go forth today, Father God, that our ears are open and our hearts are open to receive and accept it, Father God. So, Father God, this morning, we thank you for each and every one here. We give you the praise, we give you the honor, and we give you the glory because all the glory belongs to you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone say amen.
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 All right, Dr. Carson.
Jesus, I come to tell you that I wonder, could you find me somebody, just shake their hand and tell them, so many wonderful things about Jesus. Shake it a little while longer and tell them this while you're shaking it. His name. Hey. His name. His name. He's a wonderful counselor. Church would take that one finger. Some of them couldn't move like they used to, but they still had the power to take that finger. And some of the mothers would get up on those canes.
And I love Dewey
Smith, I think that man's last name is. And I said, when I go to visit Dijon in Atlanta, I'm going to make sure that I get to that church because I really enjoy his ministry. So thank God for each one of you this morning. I see somebody left us. I'm not sure who it was and why, but we thank God for each one of you this morning. And we're going to just talk a little bit this morning about God's will. You know, we say things about God's will and what God's will is. Well, really, God's will is his word. Whatever's in his word is his will for us. And so we need to look at that a little bit this morning about God's will. And help is so that we can better understand what's expected of us. That's why we need to study the Bible. We've been missing Bible study for several weeks because I have been doing other things on Wednesday. And I'm going to get back to my routine because I really know that we need Bible study. And so we're going to this morning talk about God's will. And then today is Communion Sunday, and I did send out a text about having your elements ready. So if you got a little juice and a cracker, that's what we're going to use for our communion service right after the sermon. So what we're talking about here is God's will. And we want to look at that. And if you ask the average Christian in the pew, they will concede that they passionately desire to know what God is up to in their lives. They want to know God's plan, his will for their life, so we can better lead our lives or better live our lives if we know what God's will is for us. And so we're going to look at that this morning. We need to just have some people think we just need to have a good life. And they say, I'm thinking I'm doing okay. I hope my choices have been good. I do not have a clue about what God expects of me. We hear this. How do I do this? How do I surrender? What is God trying to teach me? So whether you're looking for God's will for your life or helping others determine God's will for their life, we need to make sure we know what his will is. That's what we need to make sure of. So Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your people. And I thank you, Father God, that the word will go forth in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that whatever is said or done will bring glory and honor to you, and that people won't leave the way they came, in Jesus' name. So we're going to look at what God's will is and where we are located in that, because that's always important, because we're all growing at a different pace, and so we need to know what God's will is for us. And so we're going to look at that this morning. And we may not finish this because God's will is a long story. The Bible has all of those books of the Bible, New Testament, Old Testament. And so we may not finish this today. But we want to try to talk about it. So if you are really ready to grow in Christ and be your best for his glory, then this teaching is going to help you, because when we know what is expected of us, we can do better. So you may find that the church or even myself, what we say does not match up with the priorities the Lord gives us. And if that's the case, we need to know what the Lord wants for us. You know, we as ministers of the gospel are trained to study and to teach. The Word tells us that we teach and that we counsel and all of that, but you need to know the Word for yourself. So whether you're looking for God's will for your life or for helping others determine God's will for them, you need to know what God's will is and what His Word says, because His Word is His will. And so in Galatians 2:20 and 21, calls us to surrender your will over to His. Then you will find His pure and pleasing and perfect will, for you learn and you grow in Him. So first of all, we got to surrender our will to His. And God created us with a will, but our will is not always lined up with the Word of God. And if our will is not lined up with the Word of God, then that's a problem, because God is wanting us to go one way and we're going another. So we need to get our will to line up with the Word of God. And how do we do that? Well, we have to know the Word of God and we have to be surrendered to God. And the way we surrender to Him is to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And once we've done that, then we have to go about learning what God's will is by studying the Word of God and surrendering our lives to God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we surrender our lives to God. And then we need to be obedient. There's something called obedience. So we're talking about surrender. We're talking about obedience this morning. So Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So there is some instruction that we must follow in order to be able to do God's will and be surrendered to Him. God's will is not a mystery, and if we search for it, but the question is, are you willing to accept what you find? You see, you can search for God's will, but are you willing to accept what you find, what He reveals? Or do you bury yourself in your presumptions and pride? You see, some people are not willing to surrender. That's what surrender is all about. So this particular curriculum is designed for you as an individual or with a group to go through key Bible passages to expound on what we are called to do step by step. So I'm calling this teaching a part of a curriculum, because we are always open, should be open to learning. And so as we are open to learn and as we are teachable, God is able to help us understand His Word, know His Word, and be obedient. So finding God's will is not about programs or methods. In fact, you will be surprised to find that Scripture does not lay out a specific plan for an individual, even though God has one. So the Bible places concern where we tend not to look, that God's will is about a person who is God, who wants us, a loving relationship. What it is not all about is what we seek. What it is not all about is what we seek, such as what major should I choose. You see, when we talk about career choices and going to college and all of that, well, we talk about choices. But you know, God's will is in his word. And if we follow his word, we're going to be okay. So you see, what we think about is, you know, what is God making me do? Well, that's unfortunate because God, excuse me, is not going to make you do anything. So if you're waiting for him to make you do it, he's not going to force you. The devil is the oppressive God. So you have to understand that. So when we look at the word, we then understand what God's will is for us, what his expectation is for us, what his directions are for us to be able to serve him and become the men and women that he would have us to be. And there's some bumps in the road, and they'll come along. Those bumps in the road come, such as death, disease, sickness, trials, and tribulations. And we wonder what that's all about. Why, we ask God, why, or why? So asking the question, what does God want me to do, is a good starting point and a focus of the will of God. So asking him what his expectation is for us, what is his plan for us, is a good place for us to start to find out God's will. And when we look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added unto us. So seeking God's will, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. And so the will of God has more to do with controlling our hearts than what we do in our planning and our ideas. We must be a servant of Christ to let him mold and shape us to his glory and purpose and remain in the relationship. You see, we need to be in relationship with Christ. And one of the things that we don't understand is when we're disobedient, we close down our communication with God. When we are disobedient and don't do what God would have us to do, we shut down communication, and then we have to know that it's time for us to repent. You see, it's time to say sorry. That's what someone used to say that was at Bread of Life. It's time to say sorry. So we need to get back in communication with God. And when we're in communication with him and we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, then we're in relationship with him. But we can be in relationship and not be in communication. I need you to understand that, because sin will separate us from God. No matter how saved we are, when we sin, we must repent. So to know the will of God more intimately is what we want. And he'll reveal that to us as we go close in our experience with him. So there's three types of God's will. There's the reveal will of God, God's laws concerning lifestyle and righteous living for all Christians. It is not God's will to ever leave, start a cult and that kind of stuff. That's not God's will. And then we understand that there's determined will that cannot meet the working or stop by anything, predestination, it will happen. So the determined will of God. And then there's the specific will of God, God's special plan for each believer whom we may marry, what career, education, etc. Special God, special plan for us. And sometimes we get off the track because what God wants for us, we don't want. You know, try to avoid some of the things that God wants for us. So the three types of will, reveal will, you know, God's laws concerning our lifestyle and how we should live as Christians, and then the determined will that is not going to be stopped by anything that we try to do to stop it. And then specifically, God's will is not about programs or methods. It's about a person who is God, who wants us, and wants to be in a loving relationship with us, wants to bless us. Because you see, if we're obedient to God, the scripture tells us that we will eat the good of the land. So it really is important that we understand that. It really is important that we know that as we are willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. So asking the question, what does God want me to do, is a starting point. Matthew 6, 33 and 34, again, seek first the kingdom of God. We have got to seek God first. So if you're ready to receive what God wants to give, then you will be interested in whatever and the other things that I have to tell you, you know. And we just need to start by examining the word and being in prayer, and then discuss with others what we believe God's will is for us, or we need to allow him to put us in places where we can go forward with his will. And sometimes that means that we have to change our associates, because those folks that we're hanging with are a hindrance to us being obedient to God's will. And I had that experience. And it wasn't that I was hanging with sinners, because you know Jesus hung with sinners and got them saved. That's how you get people saved. But you don't do what they're doing, but you communicate with them. And that's evangelism. But I was with some Christians, and at least one of those Christians was leading the rest of us astray, because she was more mature than we were in the things of God, and she was not being obedient to God. She had her own plan, and her plan was to make sure that the rest of us were under her thumb and she could pull her little strings like we were puppets. And when God finally got my attention, he enabled me to get away from that person. And then when I was free, in other words, is that when you're free, you need to pray for others to be free. And when I got free and understood that this woman was not of God, then I began to pray for those others that were asleep. And as far as I know, every one of them eventually pulled away. So we have to understand that, you know, who we associate with and who we have contact with and why is very important. So we look at our obedience is our moment of truth. When we become obedient, we have that moment of truth. When God gets our attention and we pay attention, then God can use us because we're in the right place at the right time. And surrendering to God is not giving up. That's not giving up at all. That's being obedient. And we must have a firm desire to surrender ourselves to the will of the Father. And however this surrendering we do is not giving up our distinction or our personality. God is not asking you to do that, but he wants you to surrender to him and then be obedient to his will, because we all come here with a purpose. We weren't just born just to do nothing. We come with a purpose. And until we get in place, God can't use us. And so obedience is our moment of truth. And surrendering is not giving up. You know, the key is to pray, then read and examine the scriptures, and then pray again. That's how we get to know what God's will is for us. And God will send people in your path to verify or to give you a confirmation that what you're hearing from God is true if you have doubts. And I have that happen. God gave me a mentor who was very close to him, a young woman that actually, she was younger than I, but I had known her for a long time. And God used her to help me understand that he was calling me to a higher place. And she began to confirm what was happening to me in the spirit and the direction that God was taking me in, that it was really truly him. And then he sent other people. But you always know that it's God, because they can't line up with what the word of God says. Like that one I talked about who was leading us astray. She wasn't leading us to God. She was leading us astray. You have to know the difference when it's the devil and when it's God. So we must have a firm desire to surrender ourselves to the will of the Father. And however this surrendering, we do not give up on our distinction and our personality, because God is going to use that. When you're surrendering, you don't give up your individuality, I want to say, and your personality. It doesn't make us eunuchs. Eunuchs were people that, men specifically, that were castrated. And in the Old Testament, they were used to, because they were supposed to be obedient. Because of this, that was to help them be obedient to God. So we don't have to do that. We don't have to be robots who serve a master out of obligation and importantly and out of a predetermined program. You see, we have a free will. God gives us a free will. It is the refusal to surrender our will that leads us astray and away from God's perfect will that leads to unhappiness and strife. You see, when you are out of the will of God, it's not a good place to be. And you begin to understand you're out of the will of God because things aren't going the way they should. And so we have to know that surrendering is not giving up, but it's being obedient. Obedient is a moment of truth. And so we have to know the difference between those things. And then surrendering your will to God is the importance of doing the will of God. We want to always do the will of God. Not my will, Jesus said, as he was preparing to go to Calvary. Not my will, but thine be done. And he knew that he was going to suffer, and he knew that it was God's will that he do that so that the rest of us could receive salvation. So we must understand we need to surrender ourselves to the will of God. Not thy my will, God, but thine be done. So John 5:17 and Colossians 1:9-10. And I'm giving you these scriptures. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'm giving them to you for reference this morning. God wants us to follow his plan because he has a better idea. When we follow God's plan, things will work out for us. It may not always be easy. You see, some people have the impression that when they get saved, no more problems, everything's just going to be fine. Well, I'm sorry. I have to give you some sad or bad or whatever, negative information that the enemy is not going to stop trying to get you because you accepted Jesus Christ. So, but God wants us to follow his plan because he has a better idea. And so when we look at those scriptures, and then Jeremiah 29 and 11, John 5, 17 and 21, Romans 8, 28 and 29 tells us love is what God's will is all about. He loves us. And so he wants the very best for us. And that's why if we're obedient, we're willing and obedient, the scripture says, we will eat the good of the land. So then in Matthew 6 and 31 and 34, 31 through 34, excuse me, and Romans 12, 1 through 3, we see God's plans are better than ours. Better than ours could ever be. And of course, this is wonderful. This is what God wants. His plans are better than ours. If we get that in our understanding, so what he wants for us is always going to be better than what we think we want. John 17, verse 3, Isaiah 55, verse 9. That's God's invitation. God's invitation is his revelation for us to join his plan. We need to hook up with him and join his plan. That's his, and that's in those scriptures you will see. That's what he's saying we should do. Matthew 4, 18 through 22. Chapter 5, 43 through 48. Chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, 20, chapter 20, verses 20 through 28. What kinds of adjustments can you find in these scriptures? If you search these scriptures, and we don't have time to go through them, maybe next time I minister, I'll just go through these scriptures with you. But if we make those adjustments, then God can use us. So we have to understand what's expected to us, and that's where the word comes in. Obedience will require us to adjust. When you're going to be obedient to God, you have to make some adjustments. In anything that you do, there's a plan. And of course, we know on these jobs that we have, secular jobs. I know when I have secular jobs, you have to make the adjustment. They're not going to change their stuff because you want to change. You have to make the adjustment. Well, God is a God that changes not. That's what it tells us in the book of Hebrews. But he is flexible to help us. He's not going to change, but he will help us adjust. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So if we're obedient, we will be able to adjust. So obedience will require us to adjust. Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 25. Obedience will cost us, but there's no better way. Matthew 12, verse 50. This is the moment of truth. Psalms 119, 33 through 35. When God leads with a directive, we are to obey. We have got to understand that obedience is a key factor in us being able to please God and to be blessed. Because when you're disobedient, you can't be blessed. The scripture tells us, again, if we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. So God's blessings are beyond our imagination. And when we align the word, then his plans become our plans. And we come to know more of our Lord through experience. We get to know God more through us being obedient, and then he will accomplish his will when we obey. And if we truly love our Lord, then we will obey out of our love for what he did for us, out of gratitude. You see, willing and obedient, will eat to get it up here. You must allow, ourselves to experience Christ's working. James 2, verse 20, faith without a response is meaningless. How do we know that scripture? Faith without works is dead. So in this translation, faith without a response is meaningless. So to know the will of God, we must deny ourselves, focus our attention on our Lord, not on our own plans or ideas, but wait on what God shows us. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. John 7, verses 16 and 17. God blesses those who are obedient. There's that word again. It's very important, saints. So Jonah, the book of Jonah, and Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 and 15. God does give second chances. He gives us chances. That's what I'm going to say. Not only second chances, he gives us chances. Yet disobedience will cost us a lot. We just have to understand obedience is a key factor in God being able to bless us the way he wants and cause us to become what he intends us to be. And then we look at Genesis chapter 12. I'm giving y'all all these scriptures, and next week we'll talk about all these scriptures. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 20. Abraham started a great walk with God, and then he blew it. And we know that. We know that we have these problems with disobedience, and that's what happens. Disobedience causes us to blow it. So we have to be careful. 2 Samuel chapter 11, David blew it too. David was a man after God's own heart. That's what God said. But he blew it. And then Acts 9, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul began his career persecuting Christians. So this man started out talking against God, persecuting God's people. And God got him his attention. And he, on the road to Damascus to arrest some Christians, received Jesus Christ as his Savior, and his calling to ministry began, and he became God's advocate instead of God's adversary. And so we have to know that. So we cannot know the way our Lord, the way of our Lord, without adjustment and paying a price. Yet the price is insignificant compared to the worth we will gain. Then we can ever, we'll never be able to imagine how important that is, because he doesn't give up on us. God doesn't give up on us, and God often gives us a second chance and a third chance. So I'm telling you, we cannot even say that God has just given us one more chance, because he's given us chances. But you know, being obedient to him opens up the door for the blessings that he has for us and putting us in that place where he wants us. God wants to develop us as a person of character and integrity. And when God sees our faithfulness, and here's this word again, obedience, he will grant us more responsibility as well as blessing, because our trust has grown. You see, a lot of us want to be leaders for God, but we don't want to be obedient. And, you know, if you got somebody in a leadership position and they don't want to do what's right, they don't want to be obedient to whatever the rules are, whatever the guidance is, then they're not going to be able to be successful. And so God wants us to understand He will grant us more responsibility as well as blessings because of our trust has grown. When he knows that you can follow directions and instructions, then he can promote you. But he can't have you running around. Now, who is that on TV that says all willy-nilly, whatever that comedian's name is? Well, God ain't gonna have you running around all willy-nilly, going 60 different directions and following directions from everybody but him. He can't use you. And so very important that we understand that. We have to understand that a lot of people want to be leaders. And a lot of them get in leadership positions and they blow it because they're not willing to be obedient. You must be willing to obey God. You must have in order to know God's will, you must grow a relationship with Christ. You must have a growing relationship. Guys, we talk about qualifications of knowing God's will. I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. But look at 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 11. The will of God has more to do with controlling our hearts than what we do in our planning and our ideas. So qualifications of knowing God's will. You must have a growing relationship with Christ. You must surrender your will to his. You must be willing to adapt and be flexible. You must have a growing personal walk filled with scripture study, prayer, and devotion. That's why we have prayer, corporate prayer. We want to encourage you with your prayer life. That's why we have Bible study, because we want you to know what the Word of God says about what God is doing in your life and what he's using you to do in other people's lives. So you must be willing to obey God. Can't stress that enough. So we're just about done, not finished with this teaching, but we're going to stop. But you must be willing to obey God. So when people are concerned with knowing God's will, they are usually facing a crisis or decision in their lives. This is in two primary areas. First being our concern with future events. That is, what does God want me to do with my life in regards to education, job, who I'll marry? Of course, they want to know that. And what pet should I buy? Now, that pet part, I'm going through that right now. So God is giving me direction on where I will get my new fur baby, because you see, I have several offers from different people about helping me get a new fur baby, but I want God's will to be done because I want to have the pet that God wants to have. Now, that's putting it on a really simple level, but if we understand that whatever it is that we're asking God for, whatever it is that we need from him, if we're talking about marrying somebody, we need to get God involved. I know y'all don't like to hear that because you like him and he likes you and all that stuff that goes on. But honey, you need to ask God to send you a mate, male or female. If you are male, send you a female mate. And if you are female, send you a male mate and let God help you. Because, you know, everything that looks good ain't good. I'm going to leave it at that. So, a question, what would your life be like if you completely trusted God? And we look at Luke 4, verses 16 through 19, and John 14, verses 1 through 14. God's will is for daily living. And I'm going to stop right there. I've given you a lot of scripture. And I want to let this settle. And then we'll come back next time we're bringing the words. And we'll finish this because there's a lot of important information that has to do with God's will. And want to make sure that you get all the information that God intends you to have about God's will. So with that said, we're getting ready to sit at the communion table this morning. And I sent you a text on yesterday telling you that we would be having communion this morning. And so so that you could have your elements ready, your juice and crackers, so that we can go ahead and sit at the Lord's table. And so we want to do that, and we want to make sure that anybody who wants to sit at the Lord's table with us is welcome and is able to do it. And we know that in order to sit at the Lord's table, you need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So if there's anybody out there that's listening that wants to take the communion with us, you know, we don't have a closed communion. Some denominations or belief systems have closed communion. We don't have closed communion, but we do know that when you take communion, you got to be saved. Now, I will say that. That's the only thing I'm concerned about. Do you know Jesus Christ? Because if you're going to sit at the Lord's table, we want you to know. So the Word of God tells us that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. And so if you've done that, you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. If you were willing and obedient and you confess that, you ask Jesus Christ into your life, then you are saved and certainly eligible to sit at the Lord's table. Acceptable to him, not acceptable to me, but acceptable to him to sit at the Lord's table. And so I'm looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, and it talks about some things that we need to understand as we sit at the Lord's table. And so I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to look at verse 23. So if you have your Bible, you can just look at that as we look at it together. I'm going to read it, and we'll take our communion elements as we go along with the scripture. So verse 23 says, "For I have passed on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this as often as you remember me.'" And so we're going to go back over that again right now and get your cracker, and let's go through the scripture again. "This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Shall we eat? "And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink.' Shall we drink?" Verse 24. Praise God. Thank God. Father, we thank you for allowing us to sit at your table this morning. We thank you, Lord, that we could remember what our Savior did for us at Calvary, how he shed his blood so that we could have life and have it more abundant, so we could be a part of the family of God. And so we just praise you, Lord. We thank you for everything that Jesus did at Calvary. And we thank you that he sits at the right hand of the throne of grace right now, making intercession for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So praise the Lord, saints. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to ask Reverend to dismiss us. I want y'all to be safe, and I want you to stay well, and I want you to have a wonderful day in the Lord. All right, Reverend.
Amen. Amen. So God's will be done and not mine. Yes, and I tell you, because I don't know about y'all, but I have lived my will, and it kept me in trouble, and it still get me in trouble today when I don't listen to him. And I think it's him, but I know it ain't, because it ain't right. So it's still happening today. It's still happening right now today. So before I go to work and do anything, I always say, God will be done and not mine. And because mine gets me in trouble. I know that don't happen to y'all. I know that don't happen to y'all folks, but it happened to me. So I thank you for that, Pastor. You know, we need to be reminded that he does have a will for us. He does have that master plan. See, we just have a plan, but he got the master plan. So thanks for that reminder. So Father God, we just thank you today. We thank you for the message that went forth today, Father God, and we thank you for the messenger, Father God. Father God, we know, Father God, that it's your will that we need, Father God. Your will be done and not ours, Father God. We know that your plan is the plan, Father God. And what we have planned, if that's not according to your will, you will let us know, Father God. So we thank you for those things, Father God. We thank you for bringing us a mighty long way with your will and not ours, Father God. Mighty long way, Father God. We thank you for each and everything you do for us, Lord. Waking us up, feeding us, and keeping us in our right minds, Lord. We thank you for the limbs, as we know some people don't have them, Lord. But we thank you for the ones that we do have, Father God. We just thank you, Lord. We just give you praise, honor, and glory, Lord. And Father God, as we dismiss, Father God, I pray there you are with us in the midst, and no matter where we go, Father God. So this morning, we always want to just give you praise, honor, and glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone say, amen.
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 All right.
Sister Erica Carson, I see the other Sister Erica, and I see Aisha is with us again.
Amen.
So thank God for all of you. If I didn't call your name, it's not because I'm not happy to see you. I'm happy to see each and every one of you. Please come back. We're here on Sunday at 10 Pacific Standard Time, and whatever your time difference, just join us. We'll be right here. So have a blessed day. We love you.
Bye. Bye, Reverend.
All right, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Have a good one. All right, there, Sister Sonya. I see you, sister. Have a good one.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.